Vegas Golden Podcast. I'm Justin Emerson. Case Kiefer is in Miami covering the Super Bowl. So we have Ray Brewer, managing editor, sports editor, just Las Vegas Sun extraordinaire here with us on the Vegas Golden Podcast, brought to you by the Credit One Bank Vegas Born Card, the credit card perfect for Vegas Golden Knights fans. I've never done that ad read before. That's always a Case thing. How'd I do, Ray?
Sounded good. I've always wanted to have a Golden Knights credit card.
Well, there you go. Credit One Bank can hook you up.
No, but when you go to a bar or something and, you know, you pay with that and they say, oh, he's one of us.
There you go.
He's friendly. He loves the Knights.
He's a man of the city, and that's what you are.
He gets the team. So happy to be here. Happy to talk hockey. And, you know, I think that at the beginning of the year, if I would have sat on this podcast, we would have talked about, hey, baby, we're going all the way to the cup. Right? What kind of champagne are we drinking out of this thing?
Is that why you bet the under on 101.5 points?
Well, I specifically did. But now it's like, oh, God, are we going to make the playoffs?
Yeah.
And so tomorrow, Friday, game at Carolina to start, I guess, the unofficial second half. And the burning question is, what do they need to do to be playing in the postseason, my friend?
Well, that's kind of the big question. I mean, they're currently, as we record this podcast, tied for fourth in the Pacific Division. They are in a wild card spot right now. So if the season did end today, they'd be in the playoffs. But just kind of hanging on. And that's not where we thought that they would be. And if you would have looked at, you know, the Sharks were one of their main competitors for the Pacific Division title coming into the year. They've been terrible this season. So you'd kind of think that this was Vegas's division to lose. Instead, they haven't really been able to get that consistency together. They've, you know, had some extended losing streaks this year that we didn't necessarily expect. And here they are, you know, 5 points out of a playoff spot. Right now, the Athletic today gives them an 11% chance to win the Pacific. And I don't think that's anything that any of us would have expected coming into the year. Is they're just hanging on, and that's not, like I said, something we expected.
So Knight fans are going to like me because I look at the roster with Stone and Pacioretty, two of the great players in the league.
In the league, yeah.
Period. Mm-hmm. A goalie who's proven in Fleury. And I know hockey enough to where in the playoffs it's just fun, and it's whatever team gets hot.
Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking a hot goalie is kind of what you need in the playoffs. We saw it 2 years ago.
Yeah, hot goalie, hot team. And the Knights have the potential to catch fire at the end of the year. And if they get in, anything could happen. It's not like, you know, it's the Washington Bullets playing the Chicago Bulls when the Bulls had Jordan Pippen. And they're just going through the motions. You've got live action in any hockey series. We've seen it time and time again.
Just last year, Columbus was the basically the 16 seed, and they swept one of the Lightning, one of the better teams that we've ever seen in hockey.
So anything could happen.
Anything could happen, yeah.
So the question is now, what do the Knights need to do so anything can happen? Because they are in the spot because they have played bad.
Right, and I think part of that is, you mentioned Fleury, I think, you know, it's not something that people like to talk about too much, but goaltending's been an issue for this team. I was just looking it up. In his first 10 games, Marc-Andre Fleury, .937 save percentage. He was one of the more valuable goalies in the entire league. The advanced analytics were right there. Goals saved above average, that kind of thing. He was one of the more valuable goalies in the league. Well, that was 10 games. He's played 26 since then, and he's got a sub-900 save percentage. He hasn't been very good in a couple of months now, and since the calendar turned to 2020, he only has 2 games this year, 2020, that he's had a save percentage over .900. Subban, when Fleury was out, you know, attending to the death of his father, he was on the leave of absence. Subban was really good. But since then, same thing. In Subban's first 10 games, .909 save percentage. In his last 6 since then, .879. So goaltending it's been a strength of this team for 2 years now, has kind of let him down this year.
Yeah, and I would say, yes, the numbers do say that the goaltending has let them down. Absolutely. But 82-game season, there's peaks and there's valleys.
It's been a really deep valley after a pretty short peak to start the year. And Fleury, he turned 35 2 months ago. So
I know.
What do you think?
Anybody over the age of 35, what are you saying? You know,
yeah. I'm saying that, are we seeing what is a peak and a valley for Fleury, or maybe the start of a decline toward the end of what's going to be a Hall of Fame career?
Yeah, and I think when you talk about Fleury and the contract that Vegas gave him, I think initially folks said, wow, they kind of paid him for that Stanley Cup run. And at the end of that deal, it might not be pretty.
Yep. As he two more years after this one at $7 million against the cap.
And you're indicating that we could possibly be seeing signs of the tire flattening a little bit as we come down the home stretch. And if that's the case, that is the case. But I'd say for the next 2 months, this team is built to win. It's got the pieces. And it's just a matter of going out there and playing, which is, I think, why in the shocking move before the break, they flip coaches. And now they bring in a coach who obviously has a different mindset in terms of X's and O's. And maybe this is the spark they need to get to where they need to go. And 1-1, or was he 2-1 or 1-2? I can't know.
One and one in the
three
games.
That's what I meant to say.
Yeah, I know what you meant.
If I knew the sport like you did, I would have had that right. But so I guess what do we learn about the Golden Knights' new coach in those three games? Because now they've kind of got a whole week off to implement his strategy, or to at least get more intimate with his personnel.
Yeah, and I think that that's going to be a big thing. In those first three games, we didn't see a whole lot. Practices were run a little differently, you know, some different drills. There was an emphasis on shorter shifts while they were skating, just kind of some minor things here and there. But there were only three games, like you had said, before a 10-day layoff. So I think starting, I don't know when this is going to come out, either tomorrow or tonight or Friday night in Carolina, I think we're going to maybe see some of those things. Maybe they change up the lineup a little bit. Maybe they, you know, start shaking up some lines, change the defensive pairs. Maybe we see a different defensive system. They did switch to that in the middle of the year. They had gone from kind of a man-to-man defense to a zone when they were in the defensive zone. So Peter DeBoer going to have a chance to kind of do what he wants to do. He's been able to sit with his assistant coaches this week. He hired his own assistant coach, a longtime kind of right-hand man dating back to their junior days in the 90s. So I think we're going to see a little bit different. I am curious, though, as somebody who, like you said, maybe isn't in the weeds in hockey as much as I am. What was your reaction to the move? What did you think about Turf and Gallant in exchange for DeBoer?
So the thing I liked about Gallant was the players seemed to like him. He was one of those guys that, you know, I'm more of a emotion type of guy, right? Mm-hmm. I like, you know, to make moves sensed on feel and purpose and what's good for the greater good. And I think that's the kind of coach Gallant was. A lot of time he went with his gut. And I think DeBoer's more of a analytics forward type of guy, which I would assume you're one of those guys because you're young and you mention numbers a lot.
Young and mention numbers a lot. Okay.
And maybe that's what this team needs at this stage of its quest to win a championship. And I get that. They're bringing in a totally different coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
Turk was more of a, as I drop his nickname so people think I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so you did the feature at the beginning of the beginning of the team's inception.
But I just think that, you know, they looked at this was a perfect time to make a change. You had the All-Star break coming up. They weren't going to be home for almost a month. It was a good time to bring in some new blood and to get to the finish line. The board's a guy who went to the Stanley Cup Finals with the with New Jersey, and they think that he could replicate that magic.
I'd be remiss if I didn't point out that Gallant was a guy who also made the Stanley Cup Final. But we're looking back at that now, and that team was so good. They were 109 points, I think it was. Won the Pacific Division walking away. Went to the Stanley Cup Final. But last year, only 93 points. This year, on pace for just about that. Do you think that maybe that first year was even maybe more of a fluke than maybe we thought? Maybe not fluke is the right word, but I mean, we kind of look at the last 2 years as them underachieving in relation to that first year. Maybe that first year was just overachieving to what they actually are.
I think also a lot in that first year, the franchise was so new and it was a new trip for some of the opposing teams that you might have picked up a few cheap points along the way, which inflated things. And then they got hot when it mattered to make the playoff run. And that just changed everything because whatever plan Bill Foley had in place in terms of the franchise's growth to get
playoffs in 3 years, cup and six, right?
Yeah. So you go to the finals and won, and now all of a sudden your strategy kind of gets accelerated a little bit. And they've had to recalibrate this thing so many times. because I don't want to say they're desperate,
mm-hmm.
but they realize that they have some really talented pieces. And it's, I don't want to say it's now or never, but it's so hard in sports to make a run. And the window closes so fast. And they've got the pieces to make a run. And maybe a new coach could be the spark to get them there.
Well, and that's an interesting point because general kind of accepted knowledge is that a hockey player's peak is kind of ends about age 27, 28. You know, they peak a little bit earlier in hockey than they do in some other sports. And you look at the Golden Knights, they're not a young team. Everybody, basically all their regulars are over that age. Mark Stone's 27, Pacioretty's 31, even William Karlsson, 27, Riley Smith, 28, Jonathan Marchessault, 29, Nate Schmidt, 28, Shea Theodore is 24, and Alex Tuck is 23. So those are kind of your young core. But as far as this team goes, it's an older team. And when you look at kind of when that aging curve is going to hit, it obviously hits different for different players. Max Pacioretty at age 31 is having maybe the best season of his career, but Marc-Andre Fleury is 35 and not having a great season so far. So I think it's interesting that you bring up that it's kind of maybe this is their time. And, you know, they've got a lot of free agents this offseason. They've got six unrestricted free agents. So, you know, maybe this is the time for the Golden Knights, and they needed maybe some new blood behind the bench to get them there.
Yeah, and it's a good problem to have.
Sure, yeah, you've got a lot of – I mean, Mark Stone's a star, Max Pacioretty's a star, some of these other guys.
And those guys are locked up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the best part. So the team's always going to be good. It's just tinkering with what you have to get your best opportunity to make a run. And – if it include, you know, getting rid of Gallant and bringing in a new coach, okay, let's see if it works. I mean, you're at the part now where you don't want to waste the opportunity. You don't want to be the team that is, you know, constantly on the verge of making a run and coming up short.
Yeah, there's something to be said about being proactive, I guess, when it comes to a coaching change instead of, you know, worst case scenario, missing the playoffs and then kind of be looking around like, well, maybe we should have made a move earlier, right?
Yeah, but what happens if you still miss the playoffs?
Well, that's a whole different question, and that brings it right to it. So right now the Golden Knights are 3 points clear of the next team behind them in the playoff race. They're 5 points behind the division leader. So right now I don't necessarily think that missing the playoffs is that much of a concern for the Golden Knights. I think that they are going to make it. Question is, where are they going to make it? If they're a wild card team and they have to jump over into the other bracket and play St. Louis in the first round or Colorado, whoever wins the Central, it's not what you're going to want. So I think getting into the Pacific and getting to play Edmonton or Calgary or Vancouver or Arizona is so important instead of having to go play a team like St. Louis, who I think is just leaps and bounds over anybody in the Pacific.
With that said, though, would it be fair to say that none of the other teams would want to match up against Vegas in the first round?
I think so. I think that if you're looking at that Pacific division, there's nobody that necessarily scares me. Arizona has a great goalie, and maybe they're the one that can kind of get hot when the time's right. Edmonton obviously has Connor McDavid. You never really want to go against him. But I think that in the Pacific division of those five contenders, I think Vegas might be the most dangerous should they get in. I don't think anybody wants to play the Golden Knights. And you look at it, they were one controversial call away from going to the second round. The Sharks won that second round. Maybe the Golden Knights would have gone to the Western Conference Final last year had it not been for a pretty famous Game 7 major call.
And if Case was here, he'd be able to give us the betting odds against Vegas against the other teams.
He does. He does love those odds.
But he's not here. I understand you guys have some cool features on the podcast I'd like to play.
Yeah, okay. So we're going to jump right ahead. We're going to do our Shining Knight competition.
Okay, this is what I want.
And this is one that I talked to Case about it. He's like, you know what, I'll just let Ray do it. He thought about texting in his pick. He didn't trust you at first.
I wouldn't trust me either. Give me, though, and maybe it's a good refresher for our listeners, how do we determine the winner? Just most points in the week, or
we kind of take a look at a lot of things. It's points. It's how well they played defensively. It's kind of a judgment call at the end. But Case and I don't have a whole lot of disagreements, and quite honestly, I'll overrule him if I need to. But okay. I'm fair about it.
And the
scoring. So the score is Case did win last time. He had Mark Stone. I had William Karlsson. William Karlsson got hurt. So this season I'm up 7-4. So it's a big week coming up for Case.
Okay, well, so, you go first because you're in the lead.
Yep, and it is my turn to pick first. So I'm just going to go with the easy pick. I'm going to go with Max Pacioretty this week. I think he's been playing really well. They've got a couple of road games coming up. Those are kind of the games that you want your stars to kind of help you out. Four tough road games. Three of the teams are in the playoffs. One of them is right on the outside. So I'm going to go with Max Pacioretty. You have the option of anybody except Mark Stone. He went with Mark Stone last week, and
he won.
And he won, yeah. So we reset at the Christmas break. So everybody is available from alphabetically William Carrier on to Valentin Zhukov.
I'm going to go with Riley Smith.
Riley Smith, okay.
And the reason being is I know you're a numbers guy, and I know you're into Corsi and all these percentages.
Hey, you're starting to learn them from editing all my
five
stories.
5-on-5 and all this stuff. But Riley Smith, being the best Gerard Gallant that I can, he has a knack for making a big play or being in the right spot at the right time. And I don't.
It's been tremendous this season.
And I don't think the numbers necessarily describe that as well as I just did. So that's my pick.
I mean, as far as the numbers go, he's got 20 goals, which is second on the team, and 39 points, which is third. So it's not exactly like you're picking somebody from the bottom of the barrel here.
Well,
but
I didn't know that.
See, your gut feeling is going right along with it, huh?
Perfect, perfect. Sign me up.
All right, so the last thing that we're going to do is our look ahead. We normally do the look ahead first, but I figured you were itching for the Shining Knight.
The whole reason I wanted to play.
I know, you wanted to play, so we'll see how that goes. So our look ahead piece, we're going to take a look at their upcoming schedule. When's Case back? Do you know? It's probably when we're going to do this pod again.
Not for a while, yeah.
All right, so we're going to just take a look at the last four games of this road trip. They're at Carolina on Friday, at Nashville on Saturday, at Tampa Bay on Tuesday, at Florida on Thursday. So those four games, I'm going to put you on the spot, Ray. How do they do in those four games?
So
all of them except Nashville are in the playoffs. Nashville's right outside right now.
And it's tough to play on the road.
It is.
Right?
Yep. 10-day layoff.
Yeah, even though you're coming off the 10-day layoff. So theoretically,
four games in four cities in 7 days.
I say dub in Carolina.
Okay.
Loss in Nashville, and okay. I'm out of order, but I don't care.
No, that's right. Okay. Tampa's third, and then Florida's fourth.
Loss in Tampa, and shootout win in Florida.
Shootout win in Florida. So 2-2, they're going to pick up 4 out of a possible 8 points. That sounds about right to me. That's kind of where I'm leaning
to. Do you like the win in Carolina? Because it's not
that'd be a big win. Carolina's having a really good year. That one, I'll actually just flip those. I think that they're going to lose in Carolina, win in Nashville on the second night of a back-to-back, also lose in Tampa Bay, and then come back with a win in Florida heading home. So I'm also going 2-2. I'm just going to flip the Nashville and Carolina choices.
So you think that they're going to go into Nashville and win?
Yeah. They did earlier this season. That was the Max Pacioretty scored with, I think it was 0.3 seconds left, and then they won in overtime. So
on the second night of a back-to-back.
Yeah,
isn't
they're rested.
Usually tougher?
It is, but they're rested. It's not like they've played a lot of games over the last week or so.
Nashville's
so it'll
rested
be
as well.
That's true. That's okay. True. Eh, you never know. Let's just call it a gut feeling. You never really know how these things go. I don't have any numbers to back this one up.
So of course, I pick Carolina.
So I will
Friday without Fleury.
I was just gonna say Marc-Andre Fleury will serve his All-Star game skipping suspension Friday night in Carolina. So that was part of the reason I was going with that, but. You believe in Malcolm Subban, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess I do.
Yeah, I guess you do.
Well, either way, on a back-to-back, one would have got one game and the other would have got the other.
More than likely.
So this isn't that big of a deal.
It's not huge, no. And I think that was part of the reason that they wanted to play Fleury in Boston to end the stretch before the All-Star break, because they probably figured they were going to play Subban either Friday or Saturday night anyway. So this way, it's no big loss. So anyway, so that's 2-2, our Shining Knights. I've got Max Pacioretty this week. He's got Riley Smith. This will be a fun one. Hopefully you can help Case get back into the competition a little bit. Anything you want to say before we leave, Ray?
Yeah, looking forward to coming back next time.
All right, yeah. So that was Vegas Golden Podcast, brought to you by the Credit One Bank Vegas Board Card, the credit card perfect for passionate Vegas Golden Knights fans. He's Ray Brewer filling in for Case Kiefer. I'm Justin Emerson. Thanks for listening, and talk to you next time.